All right, here we go. We're back with another weekly Sheep Farm podcast. The format is simple. We try and release a minimum of 4 shows a month. Members get the full podcast plus the download. Non-members get part one. Very simple. All new shows are released on Saturdays. Please subscribe to the website for email notifications of all shows. If you do that and you don't get emails, it might be in your spam. You might be blocking us for some reason. Don't know why. It does happen. Podcasts are always available anyway at sheepfarm.co.uk every Saturday. If you go to podcast there, you'll see it. We also put part one on Podomatic that send them out to Spotify, Amazon Music, Audible, Google Podcasts, Apple, and many more. We also put part one on Odyssey and Rumble. Thanks for all the comments and emails and direct messages to Instagram. A couple of messages before we start. Thanks for everybody who buys supplements from the Health Bunker store, vitamin C powder. Multivits will be back in stock, hopefully, by the time this goes out. New magnesium, the Mega Mag 10s. We also released last week a new Health Bunker vitamin C lipsomal. It's flavoured tropical fruit, and it's a great option for kids, primarily, which we've been asked for. We can only give 10% off this product, but you can put duplicate discount codes in when you go through a checkout. So you get the 25% off all the other stuff because there's more margin in them and 10% off this. But the price point is way under the other brand we sell, the Altruent one that we've been selling for quite a long time and using for a long time. This product was actually made by a company we've been using for more or less the same sort of time as Altruent. Not quite as long, but they do a flavoured version, which we thought might be a different option. Especially for kids. Kids seem to love it. Tropical fruit flavour. Also, there's a link in there for Richard Dayall's donation information. We're also doing a live show down in Poole with Rise Above on Saturday 8th of March 2025. There's going to be more information coming out on that. We're going to be doing that with Mark Devlin. Now, we're not organising this. It's Rise Above that's organising it. So please don't ask me for tickets or tell information. You need to go to their website and email them if you're looking at going. In part one of today's podcast, we're chatting to author and researcher and returning guest, Dr. Nick Collestrom. We chat about the Richard Dayall trial in July that Nick was there at, I think, for every day. And we also chat about his new book about Kate Middleton and the royal family in general. It's a good chat for about an hour and 20 minutes, I do believe. In part two, it's just me and Chris, I'm afraid, with our usual Mint Sauce Chronicles hour chat. And yeah, so let's get on with the podcast. Bye. All right, welcome back to this new Sheep Farm podcast, or next Sheep Farm podcast, wherever. There's episode 196. I'm jumping 100 here. That's no good, is it? We're going to jump in a few hundred years, I think. Talking to Nick Collestrom in a second. With me, as usual, is our Chris. What bottle of red witch piss are you drinking tonight, Chris?
I've got a bottle of Malbec, as usual.
Right, usual.
Argentinian Malbec.
He's still drinking it just with a straw. You don't bother tipping it into a...
Well, I've got a very ornate, beautiful glass there.
A goblet.
For a pound.
Yeah. Do you brush your teeth and swill your mouth out with that one as well?
Yeah. Hey, Nick, how are you doing? You all right?
Yeah, can you hear me all right?
Yeah, can you hear me fine, mate?
All right, yeah. My screen's gone blank, but I guess it doesn't matter.
No, we can still see you.
We can see you and hear you, yeah.
Yeah.
I've just got a blank screen.
It's my fault because I had to change the date. I forgot about my anniversary. It's my wedding anniversary tomorrow.
Oh, shucks.
So I thought, I better let you know first thing in the morning. So that's why we're doing it Monday instead of Tuesday.
Let's carry on. You were at the Richard's trial in July, weren't you?
I went to most days, yeah.
We spoke to Ian Davis a few weeks ago.
Right. Well, he's come out with a powerful new book.
Yes,
so
yes.
I think it's so important and interesting. There are now three major books on the subject of, to make out that Richard is some evil character who wants to cause grief and sorrow to the poor survivors, okay? As if it's just some personal vendetta that he's got for that reason. And actually, the three books, there's my one, False Flags Over Europe, done in 2018. There's his book, Night of the Bang, was that 2022, I think it was. And then this new one by Ian Davis called The Manchester Attack, 2024. Yeah. So, and they're all agreeing with each other. So I think this is a very substantial development in the theory of a public perception of fabricated terror. And Richard is such a sort of decent fellow, so obviously honest, that he's got a massive load of British people are very angry at the way that he's being treated in this trial. And, you know, you don't often see that. No. And what they've done, they delayed the verdict for another month. I think they said October, which is very strange, you know, a three-month delay.
It's unusual, isn't it?
Yeah. So what is the point of a three-month delay?
More stress. More stress, Nick, I think. Stress him out more.
Well, but also, I think they might be very, very nervous of what judgment they're going to come out with. And they might very well decide to back off from this whole thing. I think that's a very real possibility.
Yeah, I think Ian's got a different view on it, but I think you're right, Nick. I think that given what they were arguing about in court, when you see Ian's transcripts of what they were arguing about, they weren't actually arguing about what they'd taken Richard to court for in the first place.
Not really, no. It's alleged harassment, which is a very absurd charge. He just knocked on somebody's door and he wrote up the whole thing. And these people, the Hibberts, were a very, very small part of the story. It wasn't about them. The story wasn't about them at all. They just came in very incidentally, and they're trying to make out that they're some central characters. I mean, this Hibbert, all he's got to do is take off his shirt, you know, show that he hasn't actually got any scars from the 22 bits of shrapnel, which he alleges.
Who knows how Hibbert got his injuries, right? That, I think that's a side issue. The fact is that, as Ian was explaining in his book, we've got to start at the beginning, haven't we? Was there actually a bomb? Which is where Richard started, and what you've spoke about.
Yeah, it's
if there was a lie around the bomb, right? Yeah. Then whatever happened afterwards, or what we're told afterwards, is a lie as well.
Oh, right, yeah. I mean, there was a bang. There was a firework that went bang, and a lot of smoke was generated. But there's obviously no shrapnel because the glass doors and glass ceiling were totally undamaged.
Well, if there was shrapnel, and I'll use the word if, it certainly wasn't what we were told it was.
I mean, it's obvious that Richard's account of what happened is true and genuine and valid, and the court is anxious not to dispute this because it knows it'll lose, right?
Yes.
That's the weird situation. It's trying to claim harassment when all Richard did was politely knock on the door, and Richard's obviously doing exactly what a journalist is supposed to be doing.
Yes.
He's giving a full of detail and all the evidence for what actually happened and inviting everyone to make up their own mind. So they're trying to prosecute him for this. They're trying to make out he's some, you know, fiendish. Well, exactly, it's happened with me with the London bombing. It was so similar that he's got some ghoulish interest in upsetting people and trying to pretend people haven't died. And I think the government is nervous and suspecting they're going to lose the whole argument big time, which could easily happen, you know. And their delaying of this judgment by one more month to October, you know, it could indicate that they're actually pretty damn scared.
Well, I think there'll be, I mean, I noticed, and it's not that I watch the news or anything, but when you open Yahoo and things like that, you see new snippets. And when the trial started, it was Britain's worst troll type of thing. As it went on, there were no news stories whatsoever popping up. Because as the reporters were listening to the trial, they were thinking, well, even the people that are trying to prosecute him are talking nonsense. They're not even talking about the trial. So they can't report on what they were doing, because if they reported on that, people would read it and think, well, that's got nothing to do with what he went to trial for.
Yeah, and he actually had a very good barrister. It was, as my friend Ben said to me, he said, real Perry Mason stuff, right. the way he was conducting it. Oh, shucks.
Yeah.
Are you okay? It's just got a bit blank with me.
No, we're fine. It's probably going to start flickering again.
Right. Anyway, we'll just wait and see. You know, that's all we can do now. And I think a lot of people will support, if he is found guilty, it'll be a big fine. A lot of people will want to support him.
I'm sure they will. Yeah, I mean, we'll be trying to raise money for him, and I'm sure a lot of people will be trying to raise money for him. But I think the one thing I thought when they took him to court, the last thing they want is all this evidence in court. Boom, they didn't let him take it in. Talk about any piece of evidence in court, which, again, that in the, for the future has got retrial written all over it. A bit like the 2020 lockdown trials that all got kiboshed and nobody were reporting that they were all nonsense. People that were getting fined for working and stuff like that. Most of them that took it to court won. They all won.
Did they? Right.
Most of them won.
Yeah. Richard's doing this deliberately. He was deliberately pushing them. So I would say they had no alternative in a way, because he was not only exposing what happened and didn't happen at Manchester, he was also exposing the inquest they had. Yes. He went in detail through the inquest. So he was deliberately, I would say, he was kind of winding them up, knowing that they would have to respond. And they did respond. And he told me he was doing this because he wanted to bring the whole agenda of state fabricated terror up into a level where the media would have to deal with it. Yeah. And that is the amazing success of what he's achieved.
Yeah.
I think
that like Sir, say Mariana Spring and that, all they've done is point people to his work. So someone who wasn't into any of this stuff going back before they started accosting Richard, and now going onto his website and listening to his film, watching his films, etc., and seeing that he's authentic. He's a guy that puts himself out there, and whether you agree with everything he does or not is irrelevant. He should be allowed to present his work to the world.
Yeah, also, it's rather charming the way he's a paranormal investigator. He's actually Britain's top paranormal investigator, you know. Before all this started up, I should talk to him about the stuff he did, leaving cameras out where he thought were UFO hotspots, you know.
Yes, yeah.
Brilliant.
I used to love all that stuff, yeah.
Yeah, and the cows getting, you know,
mutilated
and exsanguinated. And he'd give these gripping talks. He used to go around England giving these very popular talks.
Yeah,
we saw him twice, Nick.
We went a couple of times, yeah.
We saw him do the cow mutilation, the animal mutilation one about those horses. That were brilliant.
Yeah. So I very much doubt if they can succeed in destroying him. I think this is a bottom line. And I very much look forward to him doing his talks again once this is over.
So do I.
Starting up again, yeah.
So do I. And I'm sure he will. And that, the problem is now, they will make him. That's the problem with what the state is doing. The people behind the state, not necessarily the government, they're the front people out there. But the people behind the state are doing, it does shine a light on people who are trying to fight them.
Yeah, right. You see, a character like Ian Davis, in the past, he wouldn't have touched, if I may say so, state fabricated terror. Mm. He'd write for stuff like The Off Guardian, for example, you know, do all sorts of, you know, learned counterculture articles. Mm. And the various websites like that, they would never go as far as state fabricated terror. The idea that the government is actually creating a terrific, complicated theatre of deception in order to teach you who to hate. That is a whole step further, right?
Yeah.
And normally, we're kind of, we're out on a limb, so-called truth movement, that analyses this, doing it for years, obviously ever since 9/11, but we don't expect any immediate recognition, and we don't ever get it. The fact that Ian Davis has now done a book on the subject, focusing dramatically on the way Rich is being treated in the court, that I think gives them something to pause and think about. I mean, every MP or any British politician will benefit from reading Ian's book, because it's very clear and lucid and direct.
It is. I've read it. Yeah, it is. And it's worth a read. Just, it's worth a read for the testimony of the defences, not the defence, the prosecuting in people. Their testimony was absolute madness. The mother, that just going round in circles, where she was sort of disagreeing with Hibbert, and didn't, it came across as though she didn't like him, and she weren't backing him up in any way, to me. That's what came across from what Ian put in there.
Also, the way they were deliberately feeding paranoia to this poor little girl.
Yes.
Calling Richard the stalker, and trying to make out that she had to be scared of this bogeyman stalker who might come around any time. And it became clear in the trial that the way they were feeding her paranoia and winding her up, and she's obviously, mental age of 9 or something, as the defense pointed out, there was no need to even mention to her what was happening.
No.
So they were winding up like that.
And let's face it, right? If anything's a mistrial, they've taken him to court for being. What did they actually take him to court for, Nick? Just reiterate,
Well,
they took him to court for.
it was mainly a charge of harassment, wasn't it?
Right.
That was the core theme that.
So Greater Manchester Police went to all the houses on the street, door knocked them,
Yeah.
asked them if they'd seen anybody, i.e. Richard,
Yeah.
harassing these people.
Yeah.
Everyone said no.
No, right.
There was no harassment. GMP, Greater Manchester Police, dropped the whole case. Well, there were no case. It was preliminary investigation. It said there was nothing. There's no investigation. They'd done nothing wrong, and that was
Right.
2 years ago. They still
Right.
decided to do him for harassment. How does that work?
Well, I think it's pressure from the BBC.
Yeah.
They kept trying to vilify him and didn't really work. And they managed to find this Hibbert character. And he's been through some sort of, I mean, you don't know what handle they've got on these people. He's been through some sort of, obviously got back trouble. Maybe the daughter's been in a car crash. We don't know. Nobody's going to tell us. But they found these two and realized they could weave a court case using those two. So it developed after the BBC had been harassing him for quite a while. And let's be crystal clear that harassment has been taking place in this case.
Yes.
It's by the BBC of Richard,
Yes.
closing down his YouTube, closing down
Tours.
his
His
shop
tours as well. He can't do his tours.
his tours, but also his market shop at Merthyr Tydfil, where he lives. That they came and not just harassed him there, but told the organisers that they shouldn't allow him to sell his stuff there.
Well, they did actually harass him there as well, didn't they? They harassed him by turning up on his door and doorstepping him.
Totally, yeah.
With a camera crew, and I mean, if you think about, right, you've got Richard on his own, right?
Yeah, yeah.
If self-funded through his tours, etc., right?
Yeah,
And you've got the
yeah.
might of a billion-dollar organization like the
Yeah,
BBC
yeah.
that has a budget just to fight a conspiracy theory.
Yeah. Well, it's remarkable the way Richard is kind of can be self-motivated. I mean, I always recommend people form a group if you want to discuss what, find out what happened. Form a group and try and discuss it around in a group, because it's all too complicated and difficult for one person to figure out.
Yes.
And as a loner, you can so easily get paranoid or hit by despair or whatever.
Yeah. I mean,
And but.
you've been there when you wrote your 7/7 stuff, didn't you?
Oh God, yeah. I got damned and vilified by the BBC. I mean, whether I should have anything to do with them is a moot point, but they certainly damned and vilified me without any comeback. Half my friends wouldn't speak to me anymore after that, the way they portrayed me. I've seen quite a few people they've attempted to destroy. Anybody who sort of stands out away from the mainstream narrative and gets a certain level of attention, BBC is liable to get to do them in, you know, they've evidently decided they can do that with Richard, we're all waiting to see what happens now.
Isn't it mad as well that Mariana Spring moaning that she gets harassed all the time, and she
Yeah,
turns up at his blooming stall and starts harassing him, like, say, with all BBC behind her?
but they do it in a different way. It is very,
Because they're doing it for truth, because they're the real truth fire.
yeah.
Not anyone else. No one else is allowed to have an
That
opinion.
tempered aggressiveness, isn't it? Where they're
Yeah,
asking questions that, and they
passive
know if you
aggressive.
answer, yeah, they know if you answer it, you're going to open a trap door and fall in it, because they've been trained how to ask questions.
Yeah, and you don't get any live dialogue with them. You get a pre-prepared dialogue, don't you?
Yes.
Where they can adjust the narrative however they want, chop it about and adjust it. I mean, someone like Mary, well, the BBC, any BBC spokesman can't turn up in an ordinary public meeting. The public will be too angry.
Yeah.
They can turn up in a BBC studio.
Yes.
And I think that's an important distinction.
It's a good point. It's a good point. But yeah,
I
the
mean,
point.
we always, sorry, we always found we had a whole truth movement, 9/11 truth group. We were trying to get discussion about the London bombing, okay? And would there be anyone from the authorities who would prepare to discuss with us what happened or defend the government story of what happened? And basically, no, there wasn't. They'd be the Metropolitan Police, you know, and they'd turn up in a BBC studio, and that was all. At any public meeting, it was just organised by us lot, and you couldn't get the other side to come along. I think that's a characteristic of this kind of area.
Well, like I said, they won't have any discussion. Was it right that they won't have anyone in to discuss that climate change didn't exist because it's a fact? That's
yes.
it.
Yeah.
It's not up for discussion. But then they'll have some lunatic from Just Stop Oil there because that's still selling the climate change bollocks, isn't it?
Yeah. Yeah. And we'll say with Richard, they said we're not allowing the evidence because the evidence has been set at the inquest.
That's what the inquest is for.
Yeah. They've
basically ring fenced the evidence, and that's all.
I remember at the trial, Richard said, "Well, you see, no evidence that Hibbert was present at the Manchester Arena thing at all, and that photograph of him and his daughter in a restaurant, that is, you see, no evidence that was on the date of the event as they're claiming. There's absolutely nothing. They claim to have a ticket for the concert, but anyone can get a ticket."
But they've never actually shown the ticket, have they?
Well, okay, maybe not. Now, the prosecution lawyer said, "Oh, yes, there is evidence. Yeah, of course there is." And Rich said, "Well, what is it?" He said, "Oh, well, we discussed it yesterday. I'm not going over again." So he closed it off. all he had alluded to, because I was there the day before, was that the fellow conducting the inquest claimed that he had seen CCTV. We've had the same absolutely bogus nonsense years before previous events. The authorities claim to have seen CCTV, which they cannot reveal to us, the public. Oh, no, we can't see it. No, we're just the public. But they have seen it, and, yeah, that puts Hibbert there on the day. And I think people are pretty fed up with this kind of response, claiming to have CCTV. Mauritius made the very simple, reasonable request. If there's something too shocking about the CCTV, they can't show it. Can they please release all the CCTV up until the moment of the blast?
Yeah.
Right? Everywhere. And that would be a very simple request. Obviously, they don't want to do that because it would show them fiddling about preparing the scene beforehand. But that would be a very simple request. Obviously,
even showing Hibbert and his daughter walking into the arena through the initial doors. I think I sent Richard an email about this. In my corporate days, I used to go to a lot of do's in blooming boxes. Hibbert said he was in a corporate box.
Did he? Yeah.
Right? That's where he said they went to watch the concert.
Right. So
a corporate box generally holds a few people, i.e. they don't have corporate boxes really for two people. They generally got 4, 6, or 8, or 12 spaces in type of thing, with a table in the middle where people have a meal before the event starts, whatever the event is, basketball or whatever.
Yeah.
And then outside the box is generally enough seating for the people that are inside the box.
Yeah.
Yeah, a lot of times the boxes have their own toilets and all that type of stuff in there, right? Even sometimes have mini bars and stuff like that in there. And the waitresses are always bringing in and out the drinks.
Yeah, right.
Right? So where are the waitresses that are saying, yeah, he was definitely in there because we saw him, or the CCTV? You've generally got to go up a lift to there.
There you go, right, yeah.
Right? You cannot go out forward down into the stadium where he said he went to because you've got to climb over the... There's generally like a 6-foot drop to where all the other ordinary seats are.
And why does he say that if he was in that box, what was he doing going out through that... that studio room.
Well, I would say that would be. I've not been in a box in that stadium, but most of the arenas are when you sit in the seat outside the box. You're generally looking down, obviously, onto the stage or the court. What you're looking at, and below you, when you're looking over the edge, is about a 6-foot drop where the normal seats are. So to get out, you'd physically have to climb over that and walk down into the concourse, the stadium. Yeah?
Yeah.
He's not going to do that with his daughter. Come on, let's face it. Generally, you go out the way you came in, which is down the lift.
Right.
Private lift, generally.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
When they're like club seats, you call them, or whatever you want to call them. So again, there's no questions being asked about how we got into there and how we got his tickets. Because let's face it, these box tickets as well, Nick. They're not 25 quid or whatever the tickets cost for a normal seat. A box ticket might be hundreds or thousands of pounds.
Right, yeah, yeah, exactly.
Yeah, so
So that'll be quite a special ticket, and there'd be people witnesses.
There'd be witnesses, right? And also, I would, as the guest, there'd be pictures on your phone and posts on. I mean, I don't post anything on social media.
If you're in a box, you'd definitely have a picture, wouldn't you?
There'd be champagne. Generally, they bring champagne in for you and stuff like that.
Well, notice the way they behave. They don't. None of these witnesses saw him, so they can't testify. And they run this case purely on emotion.
If this was a proper police investigation, they would start there. They would have gone to that restaurant and said, "Let's see CCTV footage for that day. Were these people in this restaurant?"
Well, of course they would. Yeah, right. Yeah.
Because they were injured there, and we want to see if they cross paths with the guy that did the bombing or whatever. They would have gone through everybody's day that particular day, like a dose of salts, as dad had said.
Not if it's a cover up, buffer.
Yeah. Well, I don't know, just standout stuff. But again, simple, what we've just talked about there, or I've just spouted there, they would never discuss that in a court.
No, that was not
discussed at the inquiry or anything.
Or anywhere else. I mean, there's nowhere else where British people can ask these rudimentary questions.
Yeah.
If this guy is suddenly high profile and he's in a wheelchair, which looks very dramatic, and he tears at your heartstrings for the emotions.
Yeah.
And
let's face it, it's sad. If people have been injured in anything, it's sad, right? It's a child injured, grown up injured. But what we're asking is, were they injured as we've been told they've been injured? Because that, if they weren't, that's a...
Well, the point is, he had his back trouble before this event happened. That's the important thing.
Yeah, I think Richard proved that, didn't he?
I think so, yeah.
I will say, and I don't know this, I'm just talking, but I saw him on TV not long after, might have even been a year after, I can't remember. And I don't want to be horrible here, but he got his legs had withered, hadn't they? They were little. I'm sure that takes quite a few years for that to happen.
Yeah, yeah.
I don't know.
I don't know either. I'm guessing.
Yeah, I don't know that.
I'm half making it. Well, they do. It doesn't happen overnight.
It's a bit like the stuff that you brought out in your 7/7 stuff where they were shooting at Canary Wharf. I think you were the first person I heard actually bring that up through your investigation.
Yeah, wasn't original, but I was one of the first people. Yeah,
yeah.
That was finally what happened, yeah.
I think that part alone tells you that something else were going on, regardless of all the other things, because it was never mentioned on the news.
No, not on our news. A lot of other news it was.
Yeah.
All over the world reported that, but not here. It was blanked out. Yeah.
Which means they had different scripts, didn't they? That was a script that they were going to use, and then they started using a different one for some reason and scrubbed that story.
Yeah, well, let's hope that if Richard wins this case, people will want to talk about this. People will say, well, if the government's complicit in this mention event, what else were they complicit in?
Yes.
And this needs to become thrown wide open as a subject that students are allowed to discuss in politics courses. And I need to be able to do PhDs and stuff discussing the way these complicated, fabricated terror events are constructed. Yeah. And it's in all our interest to free ourselves from this ghastly, whatever it is, that's able...
Parasite,
able to misuse our intelligence services.
Do you actually think, Nick, do you think there's actually ever been a Muslim terrorist like the tellers in England?
I'm sure there's sort of small-scale ones, but all the big complicated ones are fabricated, and the Muslim is basically a patsy, and the iron rule is the Muslim is... He's always known to the authorities before it happens, you know.
He shouts Allah Akbar as he does it.
Yeah, shouts Allah Akbar.
Yeah.
And he's got a bottle. A
journal at his home saying what he was going to do.
Yeah, and then a bottle of hydrogen peroxide is found in his garage, you know. And it follows the same script.
We were saying to Ian Davis, Nick, that the apparently the device he had on his back, this is one thing I found surprising, the device he had on his back was 33 kilos. I think it was 33, wasn't it? Don't
yeah, yeah, 33 sure. kilos in total. Yeah,
in total, 33 kilos. Now, I work in kitchens, and lifting a sack of 25 kilo potatoes is quite heavy.
It does sound very heavy, yeah.
If you were walking with, and I'm fairly biggish, if you were walking with a 30-odd kilo sack on your back, you'd be walking like Hunchback of Notre Dame.
Yeah, yeah. Anyway, Richard showed that this guy was really there through his very astute detective work, and he did really leave a rucksack there, and the rucksack did really go bang. I thought that was a rather fine bit of detective work. And he's got the time and motion of the way that, where this fellow went, and he went out and got into his car and drove off. And I think he was caught by the police.
Yeah, there was a video of it, wasn't there? When they in a car park where the
So he's the only person who's done the kind of helpful, real investigation which the people of Manchester need to hear about of what actually happened. This guy, who's some sort of patsy, trained by MI5 without a doubt, and we don't know where he is now. I think he might have been released in, I don't know, Libya or something. But that is the real story, and I think that's what people want to hear about.
Yeah, yeah. And, well, we'll leave that part there. Let's hope Richard gets a good result in October.
Yeah, let's leave it.
I mean, I think they could even elongate the decision and string it out. Not because I think they want to water it down. And I might be wrong about all this. I think they want to water it down and let it fizzle out. And that's what they do with all these things.
Yeah, you could be right. You could be right.
And it wouldn't surprise me if, let's just say they elongate it for another till the new year. There's going to be no decision till the new year.
Yeah. But
they don't have to release that in the story. Apparently, the last day of the trial was only released in one local newspaper. They didn't release it anywhere else. We could only find it in one local newspaper. And I forget what the local newspaper was, but
right. Well, let's remember this prediction yours, Don. I think it could very well be right.
I hope so for him.
Yeah,
I hope so for him.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. Okay. Let's move on. Let's move on from that one. So you've got a new book out.
That's right, Don. Yeah. Yeah.
A prolific author.
Well, it's a little tract about the British Royals, Dom.
Right. Okay.
Normally, it's something I'm not interested in the slightest, you know. But this strange way that Kate started to disappear, I thought, hang on, what's going on here? She was last seen last Christmas, the real Kate, I would say. And then we got strange stories of a police car and an ambulance drive off at night time from where she's staying. She's not really heard of. And then in March, you start getting doubles appear, people who are obviously not Kate, in various photos. And then you start getting fabricated pictures of alleged Kate and her kids. And the media then take this apart. Why are we given fabricated pictures? What's happened? And then the climax is, or a climax, in March, you get an AI, artificial intelligence construct, I would say, on a park bench, and she's talking to us. And various people have said, when you zoom in, you look at this figure, it isn't a real person. It's a construct, and the park bench isn't a real park bench, and the background isn't a real background. And she's telling us, oh, I'm struggling with cancer, you know. I felt that was so strange. Well, who is playing games with us? So that's how I got pulled into it, Dom.
Yeah.
Just Catherine, for 6 months, she's hardly seen. And then she turns up dramatically at, say, Wimbledon or, you know, the Tribune of the Colour. And you see somebody looking radiantly healthy, about nearly 20 years younger, beaming at you, you know, waving with her kids. And people say, well, you know, is this what cancer treatment does for you? Chemo, how come she's on chemotherapy, hasn't lost a hair of her head, and is this the real Kate? So there's questions about, is this the real Kate? That's the kind of thing I'm grappling with in my book. In a way, that's the main theme of the book. Has she come back? Have you really seen her?
There's another question as well. Why does she only ever own one jumper?
Her own
one stripy sweater.
Yeah, that's turned up again. No, stripy sweater turns up.
The narrative of it all when it was happening was quite interesting, because I didn't know about it until someone at work said to me, what do you think's going on with Kate Middleton then? And then I said, why? And I'm guessing this was like springtime. So she hadn't been seen since. So before she made her appearance and said she had cancer, I don't know when that was, wasn't it?
Oh, Christmas, wasn't it, I think.
Christmas, she hadn't been seen since Christmas. But then,
right.
The first time she turned up, when she turned up and said she'd been treated for cancer, But what I noticed was people who told me about it were saying, oh, it's really dodgy, it's weird. Well, as soon as she said she had the big C, and I mentioned it, I said, oh, have you heard about it? And literally everyone, I was working in the kitchen, and everyone went, oh, no, you can't, don't talk about that. She's got kids, it's wrong, you shouldn't be talking about it. And I'm like, yeah, but you brought it up with me in the first place. I'm just asking what's happening. But the narrative stopped people talking about it. As soon as you mentioned cancer, no one was talking about it because
Yeah, well,
cancer's
that
so
quite.
cruel, she's got children, etc.
Yeah, well, we're told the king's also got cancer, and Fergie's also got cancer. Suddenly, you've got three sort of royals talking about having cancer, so in my book, I look at the unreality of the stories we're given, how they don't make sense, and that they can't,
Well, some of the pictures that we were shown, and I know I got a lot emailed to me, and Chris, we did. There was one of her leaving some farm shop or something like that that
That's right, yeah, her and William,
just wasn't her. And
wasn't her, no,
then she,
wasn't William either, no.
no, it clearly wasn't either of them, right? And then there were a picture of her in a car that with a face superimposed into the like back passenger window. And that still wasn't her. So they'd
No, it
superimposed
wasn't.
someone in, and it wasn't
Well,
even her anyway.
it might have been old pictures of her they used. So some of these things were shown. People trace the images to pictures of her from,
I
a
suppose,
year or two ago.
I know I'm jumping the gun, but I suppose the question is, I mean, it's like the fabricated, it's like the fabricated terror, isn't it? It is. Why would they go to the extreme of doing that when, let's face it, right? From a technology point of view, they would get hold of technology that we could only dream about. It'd be like 20 years, 25 years in advance of what they could make that AI look like her if they really wanted to. That
Yeah,
park
well,
bench
that is
would look
partly
like a
what's
park
happening.
bench.
Yeah, partly the story is, the motive is, can you fool the British people with AI? I think that is partly the motive. And the question is the real Kate still with us? That is the question we're all wondering, because, I think she'd be a really good Queen of England if she was still around. Yeah, my book, I'm asking the question, will the royal family endure and continue? Okay, we've had this very long 1,000 years British royal family, and then the Queen lasts 70 years, reigns for longer than any other monarch. And then once she dies, it all seems to be falling to pieces suddenly, doesn't it?
Well, I mean, in fairness, the whole world seems to be falling to fucking pieces, doesn't
Well, yeah, it does.
it?
Oh,
So
well.
it stands to reason that they'd fall to pieces as well.
Yeah, we've had five prime ministers in 5 years. So,
And only one of them's been vo actually voted in, if you believe that.
I mean, I partly look at the two, the heir and the spare, and in terms of their instability, why are they sort of emotionally quite unstable? And that goes back to Diana having been murdered. So I go into the question of how. I would say that the state conspired with murder of Diana for various. They couldn't bear her, couldn't endure her, and so you've got two children of Diana who have to cope with this. They are in the royal family, and did the royal family have something to do with bumping off their mother? Was it so Charles could marry Camilla? That is what Diana said in a letter. She wrote a letter saying
Well,
that.
even if they didn't have anything to do with it, they would have known about it.
Yeah, would have known about it.
So indirectly, whether they did or didn't, and I'm not sticking up for him here, by the way, because I couldn't really give two hoots about
Is
the royal
that
family
the
breeding.
same thing that happened to Kate Middleton? Maybe, you remember Diana said she was a brood, used as a brood mare. Maybe it's the
Well, that is
same
one of the
scenario.
stories, isn't it? That
Well,
if Charles got rid of Diana so he could marry Camilla after using her as a sort of brood mare to produce the kids, is William doing the same thing? Kate has produced two kids. Does he actually want somebody else? This.
Well, according to my missus, when she, because my missus gave birth, I think around the same time on one of them,
All right.
she when she was stood at the outside the hospital on the birth, my missus said she hasn't given birth. She's
No.
too skinny.
Just
She's
kidding. Yeah, right. Well, that is what I conclude, actually, that for Kate and William, they used a surrogate births.
Is
I
that
think
admitted? Is that admitted? No.
no, it's not. No, it means that when she's in hospital, they take eggs out of her ovum, And will your master wank into a test tube?
I thought you were a wanker.
And you know, you produce the right air. And I'm saying that's what happened. I don't.
I mean, that's what they do with racehorses. They do that with horses and what have you. Artificial insemination.
Well, it is, yeah, right. But the point is that the law in this country is very definite about heirs to the throne. They've got to come from the body of the Queen, and get this, it's got to be witnessed. You've got to have somebody or people seeing that child come out of the Queen that is given birth. So that didn't happen with Kate. There were sort of excuses, and I would certainly say there is a hidden mother somewhere who was the surrogate mother who was given the
the strange thing is, going back to the brood mare scenario, Kate's genealogy follows a straight line back to King Edward III. So, no kidding.
That's really good. I should have put that in. I should have put that in.
Next time, ask me. It follows a straight line back to Edward III, which then obviously goes back to Edward I, II, all the way back. So
all this stuff about Kate being an ordinary middle class girl.
But it could still be a different lineage, couldn't it? So she could still be a brood mare to them.
But they could be bringing the mare. No, that's what I'm trying to say. No, it definitely is a brood mare. You know, somewhere they will be related. Not many generations either.
Right. Well, so William and Harry got this sort of royal blood from Di, that Lady Di. She had very aristocratic bloodline.
Oh, she did, the Spencers did.
The Spencers, yeah. So William is the child of Charles and Di. That's what I, rightly or wrongly, I believe that, right? Obviously, we'd all
like to... Yeah, he actually looks like both of them as well, doesn't he?
Does he?
He does, yeah.
A little bit.
Well, William does.
I wouldn't have thought William looked at all like Charles. Does he?
I think he's got lugs like him.
He's got similar lugs, hasn't he?
Yeah.
All right.
I think he looks a bit like
but
him.
But whether he is or not, I don't know. I might be seeing something that ain't there.
Yeah. Anyway, if I just give you the background with James Hewitt, right, the father of Harry.
We were only speaking about him the other day.
Our group, there's a play put on in London by somebody called Truth, Lies and Diana. It was in the West End. And it's by this fellow who had spent a couple of years talking with Hewitt, got his story, John Conway, and he clearly said, look, I was having this affair with Diana starting 18 months before Harry was born. Okay. And that is what was said in the West End play. And journalists were very shocked because obviously Harry in his book, Spare, totally denies this, right? He totally denies that Hewitt was with his mother at the required time. It was only said to be afterwards, right?
Right.
Because he wants to have the royal kudos. Okay, so this West End play, Truth, Lies and Diana, totally put forward this view of Hewitt being with Diana's having an affair. And the journalists were shocked. They went back to him to ask this, and they checked up, and he did confirm it to the journalists, what was said in the play. He didn't actually say, I'm his father. You know, you can't go that far. But he said, I was having an affair with Diana, from that time onwards. And another author of a book I recommend about Diana went round to see Hewitt, and he saw in his bedroom, he's just got one picture up on the wall, which is a picture of Harry. And if you look at them when they were both young, they were very, very similar, both flaming, you know, ginger hair, very similar profile. And there's images of Diana taking Harry to see James Hewitt at his army camp.
Really?
I've got a picture in my book of the young Harry being taken to see Hewitt there. So I don't think there's any doubt about that. And also, there are stories that once a year, Harry and him used to meet up at this place in the south of Spain, luxury place.
I once met him, you know. I once met Harry, not Harry Hewitt, Captain Hewitt.
Oh,
I once
right.
met him in Marbella.
That's it. That's not bad. Person.
Yeah, yeah.
So it's you. Oh, living the good life.
Well, it was a long time ago. I went in with Mrs. and me little, and we were about one then.
Oh, yeah.
To this restaurant before we caught a flight back home, and it was called the Polo Club.
Polo Club, right? In
right,
Marbella,
but
in Marbella, yeah.
It wasn't in a Polo Club. It was just called Polo Club. I thought it was a rip off of Ralph Lauren. But anyway,
right.
Went in, and lo and behold, who apparently opened it? But James Hewitt, he were there.
Yeah. Oh, right, yeah,
he
yeah.
came over to the table and said, hello, all that type of stuff.
Fantastic,
but he's closed down now. I wanted to ask him if he were Harry Hewitt's dad.
Well, obviously...
I don't think it was the place.
Obviously, everyone wants to ask that, and obviously they won't answer,
yeah.
You know. But Marbella is where they used to meet up, yeah.
I would say he got paid off.
It's just like we've said it in the podcast before, though, Nick, I don't know what you think, but these people, they seem to have their own rules, don't they? And the rules are they can't grass each other up, if you like.
Well, the point is that Harry has got so much rage. People say, why has he been so destructive towards the royal family? Because he has. He's caused enormous damage to the royal family, him and his wife, Meghan, the way they've slagged off the royals, the way they've... That they've got a royal marriage, then they've just buggered off. Oh no, we don't want you anymore.
Well, I'll tell you now, right? Camilla Parker Bowles is a descendant of King Charles II.
King Charles II?
Yeah.
Really?
Sarah Ferguson, also of the same King Charles II.
Really?
Diana is a descendant of James II.
I thought she was bloodline from Charles II.
Charles of who? Diana.
Yeah, they're all illegitimate. He's illegitimate.
Yes,
yeah.
Diana's a descendant of Charles I and Pope Felix V.
Goodness gracious! Well, yeah. You're a minor information.
Mm. and I think Meghan Markle's got a royal lineage as well.
Go on.
Because I have looked at some of this stuff, and I think
yeah.
I think that's Edward III. I might be wrong there.
Call me a conspiracy theorist if you want, Nick, but I think that whole Harry and Meghan thing looked quite orchestrated to me. You know, even the fact that they were causing trouble, I think it all maybe lining up for something. I don't know, but then
well,
again,
Meghan was out to get her prince, the pastor
she's probably a handler
as a yacht girl, you know.
Yeah.
But
was it just to keep them relevant, though, where you've got this mixed race divorcee American woman actress?
Yeah,
he's keeping them more relevant in it and trying to make out so, that he's a bit of a wildcard.
These are my notes. Via her father, Thomas Wayne Markle, her ancestors, she's got eight presidents: the Bushes, Gerald Ford, Nixon, Herbert Hoover, Coolidge, Chester Arthur, and James A. Garfield. And she's also...
Well, seems rather a lot.
This is Meghan Markle. And she's also first related to the first wives as well. And John Kerry. And quite a few other people. So, yeah. Anyway, yeah, I did remember it right. She's an ancestor of Edward III.
Goodness gracious. Right. Well, anyway, I take the view that the terrific damage they've caused to the royal family was partly because... Harry is, well, he's not Charles's son, see? So Charles can't really rein him in or give him
chastise
any free thought.
Yeah.
Chastise him, yeah. He's not allowed to see his own father. His mother was murdered. So obviously he's a very disturbed character, and he's not allowed to talk about the trauma in his family. He keeps talking in his book about how he has needs treatment for being emotionally, damaged. We're never quite clear.
Well,
why,
I remember,
why.
Nick, there was a BBC programme, it's on BBC again, but it had that football guy, anyway, the guy used to do football on BBC, called Dan something, a right tall guy, a couple of ex-footballers, and Prince William, all talking about mental health.
I remember that.
Yeah,
you sent him,
This was a number of years ago. He's talking like maybe 10 years ago. That
right.
one. So obviously,
right.
William was talking about going through a lot of trauma.
Yeah. Well, also, his reputation for sudden violence, I'm being strong and suddenly attacking people. And Harry described that, where he was suddenly attacked and thrown onto the ground. And then William regretted it afterwards and apologised.
Well, I mean, there was a story, weren't there? William's ex-girlfriend, was it? Am I right there? Or somebody presumably was seeing that her boyfriend got knocked on the head in his shed or something like that?
Kingston, Thomas Kingston.
Yeah.
Yeah, indeed, yeah. I've got a whole chapter on that.
Enlighten me on that one, because it's not something I've read about that.
Well, what the hell happened to Thomas Kingston? He was a very, very decent fella. He'd married into the royalty, married one of the Windsors, and he was, you know, mingling with the top people, and he was a very honourable, decent fella, which could be why something happened to him. He's visiting his father-in-law. He's got some, you know, opulent place in the Midlands, and his father is a top Freemason. And suddenly, they have lunch, and his father goes out to walk the dog, and his father comes back, and goodness gracious, where's Thomas got to? Oh no, he's locked himself in a shed. Oh, let's break into the shed. Oh, fancy that. He's had his head bashed in. Oh, there's a gun lying by the side. What's that doing? And then there's an inquest a day or two later, which doesn't answer any questions at all. The inquest, the question is, whose fingerprints are on the gun? Did anybody hear any scream or sound? If the mother was around, what did she hear? Was there any sign of a body being dragged along? Was there any blood anywhere? All these questions were not answered at all. And then the next day, or so, William is due to turn up at a funeral, which is somewhat unrelated, but the various relatives of Thomas Kingston would have been at that funeral. And he suddenly he was due to give a talk, say a word. And was it something, King of Greece or something?
Yeah, I think it was. I think you're right there, yeah.
Yeah. And William suddenly cancels it with hardly any notice. He can't do it. And people see him with a big bruise on his neck after this, around this time. And they wonder, what is that bruise caused by? Cancelling that at very short notice, immediately after the death of Thomas Kingston.
At the inquest of Thomas Kingston, did they say he shot himself or did they say he got bashed in?
I'm not sure if they said it. It was incredibly vague. They did not say he shot himself. There's a gun is there just to confuse everybody and leave you wondering what's going on. He's got some impact or damage to his head that killed him. I think they're not told anything else about the cause of death.
Amazing what they can do when they cover stuff up, isn't it?
I think it was the back of his head, and I think it was said to be suicide. So the idea that you can bash yourself in the head and commit suicide is just
at the back of your head, yeah.
Yeah, it's just so kind of daft. And how come British newspapers are prepared to report that? You know, and then often with all these stories, the only bit of truth you get is blog comments or comments after the article. You get various people with avatar names, not their real names. And you get people, some people obviously know what's going on, just reporting because they're not using their real names, so they can say it, right?
Yeah.
And they said there was some sort of party the night before where Princess Anne's husband was there with William, and they were both around there with Kingston. I think it was something like the night before. So they were around. That was what was said. There's no official confirmation, but
is it a rumor then that he was that William was seeing that woman, or is that like a?
Well, that is as far as I'm concerned, it's just gossip.
Kingston's wife, wasn't it?
No, it's not.
No, I've got that wrong.
Rose Hanbury, the model.
Right.
There's a whole lot of gossip which I don't deal with, because I couldn't see any basis for it apart from her being beautiful and they are a friend of the family. I couldn't see any. I may have missed something, but I didn't see any basis for the idea that there was some sort of affair. But that is one of the stories, that because there's an affair with Rose Hanbury, Kate has been very disgusted, and therefore she's wanted to leave him, and she hasn't been seen. And there's another story that Kingston tried to help her to get away or escape somewhere, And so he
And
got
that's why he
zombie.
got. So do you think she's been in for reprogramming?
Well, who knows? You know, who
It's
knows?
possibly two deaths then, you know,
Possibly
possibly.
too. Yeah. And I think William should be a suspect, prime suspect for the death of Thomas Kingston. And this is he has to become king now because he can't be prosecuted. If you're king, you can't be prosecuted for
All right.
anything like that. But
Sounds fair.
yeah. So he has got a reputation for that sort of sudden violence, and
Mind you, if you were the heir to the throne, it might go to your head a bit. You have a few shandies, get into an argument at a party, and you just go, "Do you know who I am? Come on, let's have it." And then you
yeah.
just clunk above the head with something. So you can visualize it, how it could possibly unfold, can't
Well,
you?
I can visualize William being okay as the head of the throne if Kate is still with him. I think with Kate by his side, he could just about handle it. But without her, I don't think so.
Well, I think these people, like Chris said earlier, the like brood mares, you look at their genealogy, even Meghan Markle, who apparently
Yeah.
has caused a load of problem. We don't know if it's part of some sort of plan to take him away and out to America and get him out of the way, do we?
Yeah.
And a lot of these marriages are promised way, you know, decades ago, that one of their children or grandchildren are going to be married into the royal family for a favour that an earl of such and such did. Or I think Diana, her father had been promised that she were going to marry into the royal family, hence why she married old Billy Wingnut. And
What was that?
well, Prince Charles.
Oh, right. Yeah,
She
yeah.
married into that from a promise. And I'm sure the
Yeah.
Queen Mother, she was the same, because she was going to marry the guy that abdicated. And when he abdicated with that American woman,
Yeah.
She
Spencer,
had
is
to
it? Or is
marry.
it?
She had to marry the next one in line.
Maybe. Yeah, it is. It is obviously arranged. Yeah. Yeah. That's always been the case with royal marriages.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, with Meghan Markle, there's stories that she couldn't bear children, that she hasn't got kids with Harry, that they just sort of borrowed kids, you know, Archie and was it Archie and Lilibet?
I don't know what the kids are called. I seem to remember one called Archer.
Archie and Lilibet, yeah. But it is probably said to be well known in California that around their home there are not these two kids running around, and they're never seen with two kids in public.
Even I never look at the roles, but you don't ever see them with the kids, do you?
No.
Just on the very surface level, I never
You
look at the roles.
see photos, prepared photos with them and two kids, or with Harry holding a kid, and you get various people claiming that their kid has been used by Harry or Meghan for promotion.
Of course, this has gone on for years. I mean, the child that was it, were it Queen Victoria's child that was hidden in Scotland? Because he was
That
a
was a
bit, he was
story.
deranged. Yeah.
Well, that was a story. Yeah, I don't
Yeah.
know about
And
that.
he fell off a cliff or trying to escape or something like that. And these stories have got, I mean, even going back to, were it Mary Queen of Scots who were locked in a tower for I don't
They're
know how
obviously
long.
psychos, aren't they?
Anyway, King Charles, he had the story. What's happening with Archie, the alleged child of Harry and Meghan? And so Charles said, "A toast. Here's to Archie, wherever he is, you know." And he invited Harry and Meghan to come to Balmoral this summer on condition that they brought their children with them,
Right.
so they can actually be seen. And I'm not sure if that actually happened. And Meghan can't really go and see her father, who's loudly protesting about being ignored and dropped. It's said to be because he would ask about the kids and they wouldn't want to have to give any explanation about that. So
No.
I think she's very much a theatre person, looking at the
Well, she's
drama
an actress, isn't she?
as an actress, yeah. And the kids is just a story, you know,
Yeah,
that
it's a strange story. It was very intriguing when you were watching that. It was like a sideshow going on this year.
There is a chance that Kate Middleton will turn up, and it was just to keep us conspiracy nut jobs talking and to prove us all to be nut jobs. That well, is a possibility, isn't it?
Well, it is. Yeah, yeah. Let's hope.
Not
so.
Now you've said that, Chris. But we're prepared.
Yeah, mate, I quenched it.
Yeah, we're prepared.
Someone somewhere is going bollocks. We need Plan C. Yeah.
Well, so I feel a bit risky bringing out this book in case that happens.
What after you after all your other books? Think you're worried about this one?
by the way, let's just mention it. The book is called The Fall of the House of Windsor. Okay, and it's not the only book called that. So get the one with my name on it. So I'm slightly trying to predict the future but I'm not saying anything very definite about Kate, but my overall hunch is that something very strange has happened to her, and that we're unlikely to see the Kate we thought we had back again anytime soon.
They're definitely up to something. There's something odd going on. Something. I think whatever happens, I think it's been lined up. I don't think it's by circumstance. Myself.
No. I mean, William, there's this 3-minute video just been released, supposed to show the two of them blissfully happy with their kids walking through a wood and
what do you need to prove all this nonsense? You know what I mean? I saw that one.
Yeah, that was like an advert, wasn't it? Yeah.
And they're lying on the ground snogging together, you know.
Yeah.
For God's sake, do you really want to see that with your royals? And William with his hairy legs and shorts. do you really want to see that?
But I mean, that was like a promotion video, wasn't it?
It was, yeah. Really sort of fairy tale. And then,
we're going to release a video to prove Kate's alive.
All right. And then a week or so later, there's some pictures of William came out. It's just, I think, last week, looking totally wiped out and with some wrinkles on his face and a reddish face, as if he'd been hitting the bottle quite heavily, sort of fairly reddish complexion, looking very run down and tired.
Dad were Prince Charles, I'd be eating the bottle and all.
Well, okay. So people didn't seem to go with a blissfully happy video they just released. You know?
Yeah. So where can people buy your book, Nick? We're coming up to...
it's on Amazon. On Amazon, yeah. Just go to Amazon.
Right.
Not banned yet.
Not yet.
I should be grateful.
Does Richard still stock your books?
Yeah, he stocks quite a few of them, yeah.
Yeah, so you can get them at richplanet.net as well, can't you?
Well, not that one. He hasn't asked for that one. I'm not sure if he's into the Royals, but...
Well, some of your other copies you can buy from richplanet.net.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
Last time we were on, Nick, I said I got two of your books. I've actually got three. I've got your Paul McCartney one, I've got your 771 one, and I got your How Britain Started Both World Wars.
Awesome. Wow. Yeah. Awesome. Yeah.
And that was before I'd ever spoken to you.
Was it? Oh, right. Yep. God, that's so awesome.
You're right, Greaser, you aren't you?
well, it's true. It's a fact.
Yeah, it's true. It is. Yeah.
Well, you might want this short, easy to read book.
Yeah.
You know, it's
what are you trying to say, Nick?
Well, it's quite a gripping page.
It's saying, get your hand in your pocket, you tight Yorkshire bastard.
Do you know what? I will get it because my missus would love that. She loves royals.
Yeah.
In the wrong way, actually. Although she was upset when she put bunting up and I torched it down with my weed burner. I think it was for coronation. Yeah. A bit mean, but funny.
Yeah, and I thought, well, that's funny. Brilliant.
Well, it's a kind of shame that those two brothers couldn't have stayed together. I think they'd have supported each other if they could. But I've tried to explain that there's so much rage and bitterness because of a past that cannot be discussed or acknowledged.
That's just like me and Chris. There's so much rage and bitterness between us.
Yeah, I was just thinking the same thing. That's why I have to do this on a Zoom call.
Yeah. All right, shucks.
Yeah. I'm going to end up committing suicide right on the back of his head.
I end up hitting myself up back of head with a brick. Yeah. Yeah, go on. Sorry, Dick. Quick, stop me.
Well, I'm not acknowledging that any heirs to the throne have been produced by Kate and William or Harry and Meghan. I believe the Kate and William kids, charming three kids, are really theirs in the sense of their DNA. But the other two, you know, just forget it.
What did you think of that thing? I don't know if we've ever talked about this, Nick. What did you think of the Rosemary's Baby dress she wore when she first...
That was weird, wasn't it? Yeah. I mean, what's going on there? She comes out holding this baby And mother said, look, that really isn't the way you hold a baby. And she came out with high heels and makeup and the
Yeah.
Rosa's baby dress.
Skinny as a whiff.
Skinny as a whiff, yeah. And women had given birth said, look, this just is incredible.
Yeah.
You can't just suddenly appear like that hours after giving birth, or I think it was a very short time after giving
Yeah.
birth. What the hell is going on with that Rosa's baby? They're trying to invoke disaster or what?
Well, it's either someone who did the costumes, wasn't it, Dominic? Well, who was it? We actually found out who did that.
Yeah, it was a presenter's sister from BBC Nature Watch. What did you
That's right.
used to watch
yeah.
it?
Yeah.
I forget what we were called now.
Yeah, that.
But yeah,
yeah.
his sister did her wedding dress and the Rosemary Baby dress, and that other one, what was it? Hepburn dress.
Yeah, she came out in a Hepburn dress. When one of her appearances, she had a Hepburn dress from
once.
From what's that film? The Rain in Spain with Four Men on the Plane. That film. My Fair Lady.
My Fair Lady.
And
ironically, I got a video of
who designed
Kate.
By the same woman.
Yeah, I got a video of Kate doing My Fair Lady at school in a play.
Oh, right. Yeah.
I don't know what it means, but it was a bit odd.
But anyway, that was extremely unwise. Obviously, we sensible people don't believe in, you know, magic spells or anything. But wearing that Rosemary's Baby dress is when you just got a newborn baby you're producing. I would say that's asking for trouble. If you know.
Well, it's either someone's having a joke or she's given birth to the Antichrist.
and by the sound of William's violent temper, he might be.
Yeah. Oh, they want the. I don't know. Who knows? What does that even mean? I don't know. It's bizarre.
Yeah, it is bizarre. Yeah.
I think they said they based it. She based that dress on one that Diana wore when she gave birth.
Which that's even more bizarre because that means there's two Rosemary Babies dresses.
But I don't think it actually.
I've never heard that
like
one.
It. Yeah, I'm pretty sure that's what happened. I'm pretty sure that's what the actual official line was. Not we based it on the Rosemary's Baby dress.
Right. Lucky baby.
That was
no,
the official.
No, I wouldn't say that. Right.
Yeah, was the official. Line.
But I mean, going back to
I didn't put that in my book. It was too kind of scary, you know.
Yeah,
it's kind of. I can get why he didn't, Nick. It's a bit of out of sync of what you're trying to say.
Yeah, it's a bit out there into running
it's
in the
into
weeds and that,
weird,
yeah.
weirdness.
But going back to Royal lineage, the Stuart family still has a sort of a claim to the throne, don't they? And the last one is the Duke of Bavaria, believe it or not, who's actually got. They've not tried claiming the throne, but they've actually got.
In a way, Charles II was the last sort of proper monarch and most popular king we've had, the Merry Monarch. And after that, we got a load come over from Germany, you know, with the bringing the whole ruddy banking system with them.
Yeah.
So the Stuarts, a lot of people feel that is the real bloodline, if you believe in the royal family.
Game of Thrones, eh?
Do you know, I was just thinking exactly the same thing.
Game of Thrones.
That's why the show's these shows, isn't it, and these films about royals, and because that's what actually goes on in this show.
Knocking each other off. You've got to intermarry with them and intermarry. So,
but they can't let us peasants really know what's going on.
No, because then both bloodlines are really under thrown out there. It's not the because the Windsors are a made up name anyway. And they're not even called Windsor.
No, Saxe Coburg Gotha.
Yeah, that'd be a nice name, wouldn't it?
And that's why the rings don't have the English. Don't have quite the English ring to it, does it?
And they were so close to the Nazis.
There's that picture.
Ancestry.
There's a picture of a young queen doing the salute.
Yeah, queen and Prince.
She wasn't
Philip,
doing that. She was saying hi.
Prince Philip, really close to with Adolf in Germany. So close to the top Nazis. It's just amazing. On both sides of that lineage.
Was that the reason for the Mrs. Simpson thing? That whole story, wasn't it? Because he was actually a Nazi sympathiser.
Yeah, it's weird. He's a Nazi sympathiser, but Queen's
doing
a Nazi.
Yeah, and Hitler tried to persuade him to marry a German princess or duchess or something in order to cement Anglo-German friendship and avoid World War II. But he didn't want that. He wanted this American divorcee instead.
I've often thought, right, and you know about them, that they set the chips rolling, and they didn't actually care who won the Second World War. It were, you know, the real rulers of this shenanigans. And they set the ball rolling. Let us Goya and kill each other.
Uh-huh.
Didn't actually really care who won, because either way it'd have been the same.
Shreddy places.
Same outcome, really.
Yeah. Yeah. Doesn't matter, does it?
Sorry, Nick. Sorry to say that. I don't pulling funny face. I'm only talking, Nick. I ain't got a bloody clue. I'm just talking. I don't know. It's just a theory.
Well, it's been a disaster for us all, you know.
Really? What would the difference be?
We're in the most warm, one of the most warm making countries that's ever existed.
No, we're a peace loving nation, Nick. Those bloody
Muslims. Bloody Muslims coming over here.
Yeah,
it's their fault.
but you know what?
We're only joking there, by the way.
There's only one person in this country who could stop the war if he wanted to, and that's the king, right? It's called the royal prerogative that every time they want a new war, the war boss has to go up to the monarch and say, look, listen, Your Majesty, we want another
listen,
war.
Big ears.
We want another war with so-and-so, is that right? And he has to say, oh, do you have to? or whatever. and then says yes, because the military are pledge loyalty to the king, right?
And the prime ministers and everybody. But that's probably why it got hijacked.
And Zelensky.
Yeah, it's probably why it got hijacked by the not the Windsors, the I can't even say
well,
what
it might be, but
the Saxe Coburg.
In theory, I mean, this mad war with Russia we're heading into, the maddest conceivable policy for this nation. In theory, King Charles could say, sorry, no, you're not going to fight Russia, Britain's not going to war with Russia, forget it.
Yeah, they'll just show him them pictures of with Jimmy Savile. And then he'll go, all right, we'll go to war then. Don't run the pictures out.
Well, that's just another thing. Yeah, bloody hell. I have got a whole chapter about the sleazy, sort of sleaze around the spiritual darkness around the Windsors.
Did it include Mountbatten?
Yeah, bloody well does. Yeah,
yeah, good.
I miss you for watching.
Amazing what he got up to.
Disgusting human being.
My missus were watching The Crown, you know, Nick. She went, oh, you know, she was watching it. And she goes, Mountbatten, I said, you know, he's a paedophile. And she went, no, he's not. And then she Googled it and she went, oh, right. But they didn't portray him like that in the...
funny that, isn't it? On BBC or Channel 4 or whatever it was.
BBC, I think it is, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, arriving to a sodomite. And that's why he liked the Navy, because the loyalty, you see.
Yeah.
Young Navy cadets will get summoned to his office. And they'd be told they had to bend over, you know, and so on. And that was a condition for promotion. Then they'd get promoted.
Trapped at sea with him.
I think I might have thrown him overboard.
I mean, it's noblesse oblige, or whatever you call it, that the royalty can get away with anything.
Yeah.
This has been the ethos. It's
maybe his real name was Mountbatten.
It's part of the reason why I don't think we want a royal family. We're better off without it. But the temptation to do this kind of stuff, which they apparently can't resist, you know.
I'd have been tempted to hit him.
Anyway, he got away with the whole damn thing.
He did.
As with Jimmy Savile, only exposed after his death, you know.
And conveniently blamed it on the IRA, I believe, didn't they?
Just like Edward Heath. All these people. Just all these people just get... again, what they've done with Al Fayed recently. And I'm not saying Al Fayed did or didn't do all these things, but... What's it going to achieve? He's dead. He's long gone. They do it when they've long gone, so they can aim it at somebody who can't defend themselves.
I think he had a key role in exposing who had killed his son and Diana.
Yes, he had the funds to do it as well, didn't he?
Yeah, the funds to do it, and I think it's partly because of him that the Great British cover up didn't succeed, or is not succeeding. I think it may be hard for people to understand that the truth about who killed Diana is only just coming out, somewhere about 2010 or 12.
Yeah.
You can say that is when we got the truth about Diana years and years of obfuscation, of people patiently wading through the official lies and deception.
Yeah.
We get to the amazingly dramatic story of how MI5 and CIA and the French intelligence service did it, you know? Mm-hmm.
Wasn't it interesting with Diana though, and I think this is from I don't know where I think David Icke, I think, who said that Al Fayed was in charge of the security for Diana and Dodo.
Yeah,
and then he withdrew it at the last minute, and then they died, which throws a whole fucking different If it's true, I don't know. I'm sure I heard that somewhere. And I think
you did, yeah. That's what David Icke said. Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I didn't confirm that particular bit of the story. The two books I read, I'll just show you what they are.
Yeah.
The John Morgan book is probably the best, the classic.
Is that the one with the Chicago Breaks, is it? Boston Breaks or whatever they're called.
Assassination of Princess Diana. Well, they made sure that the... no, it wasn't the break. No, it was the safety strap.
Right.
Weren't working. So John Morgan, The Assassination of Princess Diana, another excellent book by Noah Botham, The Murder of Princess Diana. These are both fairly recent publications. Fairly recent and top quality insight. Whereas books in the last century, they just didn't have enough of the story to be able to be reliable.
To put it together.
Yeah.
Sorry, Nick, what's your new book called then? Sorry, I didn't write it down.
The Fall of the House of Windsor.
Fall of the House of Windsor.
Yeah.
Like a pack of cards.
Well, I hope I'm not being too pessimistic. I mean, maybe it'll survive and flourish. But
I think it's optimistic, that.
I think that is optimistic.
My impression is that it's on the way down.
Yeah.
That is my impression, yeah. I'd be very surprised if it manages to pull itself together.
I might buy that my missus for her anniversary present.
What? Yeah.
I'm actually joking, actually, because she would be interested in that.
Right.
Might have a divorce papers day after, but never mind. I'm joking.
Poor.
At least you buy presents.
Yeah, you don't, yeah.
Weird. Nope.
Okay.
Okay, let's wrap up there, I think,
yeah.
Nick. Yeah, let's have a chill out.
Well, great to talk to you two guys again.
Love to see you again, Nick.
And,
always a pleasure.
Yeah, it's always a pleasure, mate.
We love having you on, Nick.
We'll catch you again soon, yeah, mate?
Possibly after the verdict's come out with Richard, you know.
Yeah, that'd be a good one, yeah.
I know,
yeah.
We can see what's going on, yeah.
Yeah.
As long as you don't get pushed back another 6 months.
Yeah, well, okay, well,
even if it gets pushed back 6 months, we'll still do it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Anyway,
nice one, Nick.
Anyway, may the force be with you.
Yeah.
Fight the power.
Yeah.
We'll see you soon. Bar.
Yeah.
Bar. Here's a bar, Nick.
Okay, bye.
Here's a bar. Maybe not Nick.
He's clumped out.
He's just gone.
That was fantastic.
Yeah. Young, be